Good morning, everyone. I want to apologize ahead of time. I got word a couple hours ago that I would be here. And so this sermon was actually getting written as the choir was just singing their anthem. It was still in progress and will probably still be in progress throughout the morning. So I beg your, I'll ask grace from you this morning. And I pray that God will use my limited words to further his kingdom here this morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be truly acceptable to you. Amen. So, it's herky-jerky, just bear with me. Did y'all know what was on TV yesterday? Did y'all happen to notice what may have been on TV yesterday? Razorbacks, all right. And what's going to be on TV this afternoon? NFL, football. Interesting fact. What do y'all think is the best-selling piece of furniture in America today, especially during football season? Recliners, thank you. But not just any recliner. Lazy Boy. I need a volunteer to come forward. Young man in the back, would you come forward, please? Stand right there. I do want to say before I proceed further this morning, I am heavily in debt to John Ortberg for today's message, and this is something he actually demonstrated with his church a few years ago in Menlo Park, California. So a lot of what I'm going to be saying this morning, I'm heavily indebted to Pastor Ortberg for. And we have a lazy boy here, and young man, would you demonstrate to us what normally is done with a lazy boy recliner? Good. Put your feet up. Are you comfy?
Yes.
Are you? Okay. Is there anything that we could do to make you more comfortable? Something to drink? Okay. All right. Here you go. Would you like some comfortable shoes to wear? Oh. Here you go. Anything else that we can get you? Here you go. Now, what is missing? You feel sleepy? Could we have some sleepy music, please? Lullaby? I'll catch you, Vicky. You'll note that they don't call it Lazy Boy. They call it Lazy Boy. They don't call it Worker Boy. They don't call it Servant Boy. They don't call it Busy Boy. It's Lazy Boy. And we have a term for people that like to do this a lot. What do we call them? Couch potatoes, yeah. Couch potatoes can not just occur in a living room or a den. we may actually have something called pew potatoes. Think about it. Y'all see any similarities? Pew potatoes. Now, are we called to be pew potatoes? No. I would like for y'all to take a moment and pick up a pew Bible and turn to Acts chapter 29. Now, some of you may know what you're about to find. And the answer is, there is no Acts chapter 29. The book of Acts tells us the story of the early church, chapters 1 through 28. So, chapter 29 is still being written. It's being written right now. It's being written by God through us. So the question is, are we going to be pew potatoes, or are we going to be involved in the writing of Acts 29, you and I? Now, when we're looking at Acts and the story of the early church, what was it actually the apostles, the founding elders of the early church, was it them who was doing the work? No. It was God. God was working through them just as God works through us today. So, that's good news. That's good news. Because you and I, we have a tendency to mess up, don't we? Make mistakes. And oftentimes, what keeps us being pew potatoes, don't get too comfortable now. What keeps us from being, or keeps us as pew potatoes and keeps us from getting out and writing Acts chapter 29 is fear of making mistakes, of screwing up, of doing, you know, being embarrassed. We fear, we are paralyzed in our lazy boys. In our pews, we are paralyzed by fear of making mistakes, fear of embarrassing ourselves over those mistakes. We don't like to be inconvenienced. These things all keep us planted in the lazy boys and not out getting in the football game, as it were, into life and serving our Lord. So, if God is at work through us, then we shouldn't be afraid then, right? We shouldn't be afraid. It takes the burden off, the pressure's off, because it's not us doing the work, it's God. Show of confession time. How many of you have ever been afraid of witnessing to someone else because you've been afraid of making a mistake, not knowing enough, getting something wrong? Show of hands. You're afraid of not getting it right, of embarrassing yourself. But we shouldn't be, because it's God who's at work through us. Jesus did not say to his disciples, go out into the world and don't make any mistakes. Are we going to make mistakes when we go out in the world? Of course, by the bushel full. I probably made 5 or 6 already since I arrived at church an hour ago. And God knows that. And he still wants to work through us, because he can work even through our mistakes. Now, one of my favorite stories, I've heard about a big mistake. You know, you got little mistakes and large mistakes. Here's a story of a large mistake. There was a woman in a small group in her church, and her birthday was coming up, and the people in her group decided they would surprise her with a cake, and they put her favorite verse on the top. Her favorite verse was 1 John 4:18, which is, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." She loved that verse because for a long part of her life she had made bad decisions, and that verse reminded her that love is without fear. They found a baker to make the cake and told him to print that text of that verse on the cake. But the baker didn't know the Bible too well, so he printed John 4:18, which reads, "The fact is you have had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not even your husband." Now that's a bad mistake. God understands. We do make mistakes, and it's okay. But that should not paralyze us into being a pew potato. Now, following Jesus is not about mistake avoidance. We're supposed to pursue spiritual growth and find freedom to follow Christ without worry about it not turning out right. We're worried about being embarrassed. You know, Paul says in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Therefore, if you stutter and stammer when you share your faith with someone, or you can't remember that Bible verse just exactly the way it's written, it's not you, it's God who is working through you. Just as I know it's God who is working through me right now." I've been doing some praying up here before I got up here. And what I pray for is that the words I tell y'all will be what God wants y'all to hear. And He is there. And so we should not be embarrassed. Remember that to know people, to love people, to actually be able to say to them, "I really believe there is a God. I really do believe that there is a Jesus." You can be bold about that. You have the God of the universe standing behind you. He's got your back. Ortberg tells a story talking about fear of embarrassment, and this is a classic story. And, we may wonder, do we have faith enough? Are we strong enough to share our faith with others? And again, the bottom line is God working through us. We should not fear embarrassment that we're not adequate. After all, what's the basis of Christianity? We are sinners. We fail. God loves us anyway. That's all part of being a Christian, is making mistakes. We can't do it. God says it's okay. That's Christianity. That He forgives us when we make mistakes. Ortberg relates a tale. Said he was at a banquet several years ago in Southern California when a very smooth character came to the table and sat down in the empty chair right next to him. In between Ortberg and a very attractive woman, and his first question was, "So, what have you been doing except making heads turn all over the room?" Ortberg responded, "Well, just eating lunch." We started talking about a lot of different things. Eventually, in the course of our conversation, he asked, "What do you do?" And I figured, that's going to be the end of any conversation with him. I had no faith at all that he would be interested in what I was doing. But I told him that I worked at a church. He started asking me questions. Eventually, he made it clear that he would like to visit, so I invited him. On the next Sunday, he came and sat in the front row of the church. If this were dependent on my faith, that would not have been a chance in the world of this happening. Then he got a Bible because he had never had one before. He had grown up in a different religion and had not been to any kind of religious service since he was 12. He had never had a New Testament, and he started reading 30, 40 pages a day because it was so fascinating to him. It was so moving to him to think that there could be hope for him, to think there could be grace for him. Then he decided to make a commitment to Jesus, and he was baptized at great personal cost. His family disowned him. I saw him again years later after I'd moved away. He was with somebody else, and there was a lot of others involved in his coming to faith, but the first thing he said when he saw me was, "Now I want to introduce you to the man who introduced me to Jesus." And to think I had almost said no about talking to him in the first place. I couldn't believe that a guy like this would ever be interested. So, who's too far away? The answer is no one. You never know when you have an opportunity to share your faith with someone else, what God will do with that. And when that happens, perhaps someone will come back to you one day and say, "I would like you to introduce me. I would like to introduce you to the man or woman who introduced me to Jesus." We never know what God can do with our small efforts. One interesting point out of Acts, and Michael Green put it like this, and one of the most striking features in evangelism in the early days was the people who engaged in it. Communicating the faith was not the preserve of the very zealous or the officially designated evangelist or preacher. Evangelism was the prerogative and the duty of every church member. That's you. That's I. Who's got this job of evangelizing in Central Presbyterian Church? It's not Dave Schneider. It's not Eric Marsh. It's you. It's I. It's Susan Jordan. It's Kelly Coker. It's Mary Price. It's Steve Zimmer. It's you and I. Inconvenience. Well, yeah, I would like to, but you know, I had plans today. Things I just got to do. Think of Paul. Paul, at the end of Acts, is in prison in Rome. Think of the sacrifice he made. One interesting note, if you'll look at that, is he sends greetings from him and to the people in Caesar's palace. In other words, his guards. So while he was sitting there chained to guards, what do you think they were talking about? Talking about Jesus. See, they thought Paul was their prisoner, but actually they were his prisoner. So even as Paul, and you would say being in a Roman prison chained to a guard would be slight inconvenience, even he in that time was spreading the good news of God's love. So, what's keeping us from doing that? Is it lack of opportunity? I don't think so. I pulled out this week's newsletter. We have so many opportunities at Central Presbyterian Church to go out and spread God's good news. And we do it in so many different ways. We have a new prayer chain that has recently formed. We have 371 members of Central Presbyterian Church. Right now we have 9 links on the prayer chain. What do you think it'll take to get that chain to reach 371 links? That's an opportunity to serve. That's an opportunity to get up out of the lazy boy and go forward and serve. And yeah, you're going to risk making mistakes. You're going to risk being embarrassed. You're going to risk being inconvenienced. But what's at stake here? Think about it. The stakes are high. The stakes are eternity. That's the stakes. You have never seen a person who Jesus did not die for. I'll say that once again. You have never seen a person that Jesus did not die for. And they're out there, and not everyone knows about it. And our Lord said, "Go, go." He didn't say, "Sit." He said, "Go and make disciples." even if it's embarrassing, even if you make mistakes, even if it's inconvenient. You know, to take the football analogy a step further, when the offense is getting ready to run a play, they get into what's called, does anybody know what they call that? Does nobody watch football? This is not a trick question, all right? They gather around and they talk to one another, right? They huddle, thank you. And oftentimes, you know, they don't stay in the huddle, do they? No, they communicate the play and they say break or go or, you know, whatever they say. Cameron, what do they say in the huddle? Break, thank you. And they go forth and they get in the game. They get out of the huddle, they get into the game. And that's what God is calling you and I to do. To get out of this huddle here in the sanctuary of Central Presbyterian Church. This is our huddle. Where we get energized, we get ready, we get support from our teammates to go forth into the world, into the game. Are you ready to get into the game, Cameron? Get in the game, son. Head on. All right. So, what we are going to do this week is we are going to get in the game. Get in the game of life. Get in the game of being a servant of our Lord. So, all together on three, we're going to say break, all right? One, two, three, break! All right, let's get in the game. All right, this is what we're going to do. Cameron's got his ball. I'm going to give one to this side. I want y'all to take it and pass it to the next person, and we're all going to get in the game this morning. So are y'all ready? That's okay. We make mistakes. See, that's an example. If you drop the ball, that's okay. Pick it up. We make mistakes. And God says it's okay. It's okay if we drop the ball. Pick it up and go after it again. So Central Presbyterian Church, let's break the huddle. Let's go out in the world and spread the good news.